And when you blessing Zulu, talk to Emina Chris Gande.
Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, April the 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. President Robert Mugabe is today chairing the Politburo organ of his ruling ZANU-PF party, torn again by serious factionalism and concerns about the alleged deteriorating health of the first family.
ZANU-PF politics, it's very transient, it's very, you know, dynamic. And some of the alliances that we have seen prior to the December Congress are not the same alliances that we are seeing now.
A former ZANU-PF legislator, Temba Mliswa, says the alleged abduction of Occupy Africa Unity Square activist Itai Dzamara is tarnishing President Robert Mugabe's image as chairman of the African Union and the Southern African Development Community.
He cannot be known to be a leader who, during his tenure, there were abductions happening in his country. No, nothing happening. I mean, Itai Dzamara, that's sad. The family is there. The wife, what is the kids are there. I mean, you're destroying a family.
And hundreds of students are unaccounted for after Al-Shabaab militants attacked a university in Kenya, killing at least 70 people and wounding almost 80 others. President Robert Mugabe today is chairing the Politburo organ of his ruling ZANU-PF party, torn again by serious factionalism and concerns about the alleged deteriorating health of the first family. Party sources told Studio 7 that on the agenda of the meeting is the divisive issue of selecting candidates to represent ZANU-PF in forthcoming by-elections to replace 14 MDC parliamentarians dismissed from the House of Assembly and the state of the economy. The coalition that had been forged by Information Minister Jonathan Moyo, Environment Minister Xavier Kasukuere, Higher Education Minister Opa Muchinguri Kashiri, and Mr. Mugabe's nephew Patrick Juao to oust former Vice President Joyce Mujuru has crumbled, leading to further friction in the party. Muchinguri Kashiri has been allegedly isolated, and a faction backing Kasukuere demonstrated against her and party heavyweights Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa in Headlands Sunday for allegedly trying to impose candidates. Party insiders also say they are seriously concerned about the rumor that Mr. Mugabe and his wife Grace, who is the Women's League boss, are receiving cancer treatment. Political analyst Charles Mangongera tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that friction is the nature of politics.
It's the nature of, politics in general, but more specifically, I think ZANU-PF politics. It's very transient. It's very, dynamic. And some of the alliances that we have seen prior to the December Congress are not the same alliances that we are seeing now. For instance, we know that pre-Congress, it was almost like, just a coalition of the anti-Mujuru people in ZANU-PF. So Mnangagwa, for instance, your Kasukweres and so forth. But if you actually look at them as a group, you realize that within that group, there are serious differences that are there. Hence the emergence of the so-called Group of Four, which we understand already has also disintegrated, and there are differences within the Group of Four. So it's the nature of factional politics, and some of these alliances are temporary alliances.
There are pictures that have gone viral of a frail-looking First Lady, and there are also pictures of Mr. Mugabe not looking that well. Do you think the party is managing the image of the First Family well?
I think that it's very difficult because some of those pictures will be difficult to suppress. for instance, because of the demanding nature of the job of being, you know, the head of state, Mr. Mugabe has to travel to some countries, he has to be out of the country. And because of that, you know, we see pictures of him as he gets on and off the plane. And it would be very difficult for his PR managers to hide those pictures.
But lastly, he seems to be keeping a busy schedule because there are reports from South Africa that he will be going there for a state visit on the 8th to the 9th of April. What is this doing on his health?
Well, I think that... like any other human being, you know, the president, the longer he stays on the plane, the more, you know, tired he is going to be. If I were his health advisor, I would say he needs to slow down.
That was political analyst Charles Mangongera speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, former ZANU-PF legislator Themba Mliswa says the alleged abduction of Occupy Africa Unity Square activist and former journalist Itai Dzamara is tarnishing President Robert Mugabe's image as chairman of the African Union and the Southern African Development Community. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare.
Addressing journalists today, Mliswa, who announced that he would contest the forthcoming by-election in Urungwe West as an independent candidate, said Dzamara's alleged abduction was ill-advised. He said Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted by suspected state security agents 25 days ago, must be released and be allowed to stand for what he believes.
He cannot be known to be a leader who, during his tenure, there were abductions happening in this country. There was nothing happening. I mean, Itai Dzamara, that's sad. The family is there. The wife, what is the kids are there. I mean, you're destroying a family.
Mliswa, who was expelled from ZANU-PF, together with several others, following claims that they wanted to topple President Mugabe, said he was confident of winning the Urungwe West by-elections. He said the ruling ZANU-PF was corrupt and had lost its values and principles, and people of Urungwe West had lost confidence in the party.
ZANU-PF cannot mobilize people. It has no ability to mobilize people. That's why it has to go to the chiefs. That's why it has to go to the state apparatus to assist. It is no, the commissariat cannot. I can tell you that they can call for 5,000 people there at a rally. If I wanted to call another one, people will come to my rally and not to the rally.
Mliswa said he cannot hold campaign rallies because he doesn't want to expose his supporters to ZANU-PF violence. On threats by some state officials to seize his farm, he said ZANU-PF was free to grab it. He claimed that while ZANU-PF programs such as the land reform and indigenization schemes were noble, they were now being manipulated by corrupt individuals in the ruling party.
The president is saying we don't need the West, but his ministers are dealing with the West. So there's inconsistency even in terms of where the party is going. We are indoctrinated to fight whites by the thing leadership. But the leadership is dining and whining with whites.
Mliswa, who yesterday, together with the former Presidential Affairs Minister Didmus Mutasa, lost their constitutional bid to be reinstated into ZANU-PF and Parliament, said his expulsion was a blessing in disguise. The former ZANU-PF National and West Provincial Chairperson vowed that he would never rejoin the party. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo could not be reached for comment as he was said to be in a meeting. Some political commentators said Mliswa and others crying foul from outside the political sphere of ZANU-PF were simply bitter that they had been kicked out of the party. Independent political analyst Charles Mangongera said if Mliswa and others really stood for good governance and accountability, they should have left the party long ago. By-elections are expected to be held in Urungwe West and 15 other constituencies in June. Some legal experts say the holding of these by-elections is unconstitutional, but law expert Love Momaduku says there is nothing the country can do as the law does not provide remedy for not holding the elections. The Constitution stipulates that such elections be held within 90 days from the day the seats are declared vacant. It also states that in Section 156 that an Act of Parliament is supposed to pave the way for holding any elections in Zimbabwe to be conducted by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Scores of Gweru City Council workers today staged a peaceful demonstration demanding payment of outstanding salaries amounting to millions of dollars. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba has more details from Zimbabwe's Midlands capital.
The workers used their mid-morning break to gather and sing outside council offices in the city, then returned to their various workstations after having been addressed by some of their union leaders. Some of the workers were holding placards criticizing councillors and council management for embarking on too many trips for which they claim allowances and denouncing corruption. Speaking to Studio 7 just after the demonstration, Workers Union spokesperson Cornelius Elipiwe said the workers had decided to demonstrate to show their unhappiness over numerous grievances, including the fact that a back pay from April to July last year remains unpaid and that council owes them wages and salaries from December.
The background of these demonstrations is that we have an arbitral award which we have won, and it says we are supposed to be given whatever is due for us. So we are only reminding them that we still need our money, and we really need our money because we don't have money to come to work, and we haven't received our December salary as we are speaking.
Documents seen by Studio 7 show that council owes workers over $2.6 million in back pay as well as salaries and wages up to December. Addressing workers during the demonstration, Workers Union Deputy Secretary Frank Mzorera also said workers are concerned about alleged corruption by some unnamed councillors and council officials whom he accused of allocating themselves housing stands illegally. Approached by journalists for comment after the demonstration, Gweru Town Clerk Daniel Matau said he had nothing to say. Studio 7 was not able to hear from Mayor Amtendi Kombai as he was said to be out of the office. Although he said workers are engaging council over their grievances, workers spokesperson Salipio said the workers would continue with their demonstrations and shall engage in a full strike if the council fails to address their concerns.
What really incenses us is the fact that they cry that they don't have money. We agree that the economy is also bleeding, but how do you justify the several trips that they are having at the expense of the workers' salaries?
Local authorities across the country have wage and salary arrears running into several millions of dollars. The councils are also failing to deliver satisfactory service to residents. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shaba.
A Bulawayo High Court judge today released 12 villagers from troubled Maleme farm in Matabeleland South Province who were facing charges of kidnapping a worker of a state security agent, Rodney Mashingaidze. Mashingaidze had taken over the farm together with its infrastructure that includes a vocational college, church, and lodges. Vice President Pelegezela Mpoko overturned the farm's acquisition following some pressure from villagers, civic organizations, and political parties in what has been described by some in the region as an example of people power. The 12 villagers who were accused of kidnapping Mashingaidze's worker were argued that they were effecting a citizen's arrest after the person was seen allegedly stealing solar panels from the farm. However, today, Judge Noctula Moyo found the 12 villagers not guilty after the complainant failed to identify the alleged kidnappers. We reached their lawyer, Tanaka Muganyi, who gave us some details of what transpired in court today.
The magistrate actually emphasized, understood our issues to the extent that he indicated that indeed the evidence was contradictory and the complainant failed to identify his assailant or the perpetrators of the kidnapping. And not on his own, then we had the wrong people in the dock. So he had no choice apart from letting them go.
Can you just give us a brief background of the charges?
The charges, they are being charged with Section 193, Subsection 1 of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act, that is kidnapping. But from the evidence now in court, it became apparent that there was a group of about 40 people that are alleged to have force marched this kidnapping. Unfortunately, he could not identify any one of them.
That was attorney Tanaka Muganyi speaking on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, an in-depth analysis of parliamentary by-elections boycotted by the opposition MDC formations, and Zimbabweans going to South Africa are being warned to watch out for ransom abductions there in South Africa. But first, before we go to the abduction story, we take a look at regional and international news. Hundreds of students are unaccounted for after Al-Shabaab militants attacked a university in northeastern Kenya, killing at least 70 people and wounding more than 79 others. The gunmen stormed the campus of Garissa University College shortly after 5 a.m. today and, according to police, indiscriminately opened fire. Witnesses say the attackers are holding a number of hostages. In a statement, the United States strongly condemned Al-Shabaab's heinous terrorist attack to date Garissa University College, which has resulted in the deaths and injuries of about 70 people. Al-Qaeda militants have stormed a prison in southern Yemen, freeing 300 inmates as fighting continued in other parts of the country between Shia Houthi rebels and pro-government forces. Security officials said Khalid Batafri, a prominent figure with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, was among those freed today from the prison in Al-Makula. And an Arkansas woman in the southern U.S. has invited President Barack Obama to her birthday party and is now the world's oldest person. 116-year-old Gertrude Weaver inherited the title Wednesday upon the death of Miyasawa Okawa of Osaka, Japan, at age 117. Officials at Okawa's nursing home said her death was peaceful, as if she had just fallen asleep. Some of the top political parties in Zimbabwe have boycotted parliamentary by-elections and have vowed to stay away from these polls until the electoral field is leveled. They claim that the recent by-elections, which featured ZANU-PF and a few small parties like the National Constitutional Assembly, transformed Zimbabwe and others, were a big fuss as ZANU-PF continues to manipulate the voters' roll and other voting procedures. Some critics have further said the by-elections are illegal since the country has not aligned electoral laws with the new constitution. At the same time, others say the 90-day period for conducting by-elections is not being followed as per the country's constitution. Some critics have further said the by-elections are illegal since the country has not aligned electoral laws with the new constitution, while others are also questioning the role of the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission and its ability to conduct these by-elections. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma and Tawanda Chimini, director of the Election Resource Center. Chimini says the leveling of the electoral field in Zimbabwe starts with the alignment of laws with the constitution.
You realize that in 2014, there were in total over 14 by-elections that were conducted, and there was no voter registration that happened because they claimed that there was no enabling act. But come 2015, when we have these two by-elections, all of a sudden there's voter registration, and we fully appreciate the explanation given by the chairperson of the Election Commission. But our argument is that there should be no ambiguity pertaining to the election law.
Mr. Chuma, there's the question about the alignment of the electoral law and the electoral act versus the new constitution.
The major fact here is that we are not sitting down. Everything is being done to try and adhere to the new constitution vis-a-vis whatever acts and laws are actually governed or passed pertaining to be it elections or any other sector, I mean, of our constitution. We are moving. It might be at a probably snail pace, according to you, or it might be at a cheater's pace according to somebody else.
Mr. Chimini, I'll come back to you here. As Mr. Chuma's pointing out, there are some that might look at this process as a snail's pace, and the question is, why is it taking so much time?
No, definitely, that's the key question. You remember in around April 2014, the Minister of Justice, the now Vice President of the country, actually assured us in Zimbabwe that he knew that there were gaps in the Electoral Act which needed to be addressed, and that he would quickly come up with another amendment to the Electoral Act so that we could proceed with elections without contest. And this is nearly a year later, and there's been no movement in terms of the particular act. What is particularly disturbing is the number of by-elections that are now coming. In our view, we will be having sort of a mini harmonized election before the end of June this year. Considering the magnitude of the by-elections that are likely to be held, I think, you know, if I could have it my way, Parliament should not pass any form of legislation except for that legislation that deals with dealing with issues of election.
Mr. Chuma, coming back to you, looking at this case, why is it taking so long to make sure that this Electoral Act is aligned so that there aren't any questions when it comes to electoral credibility in Zimbabwe?
Right, first and foremost, maybe let's talk about the figures first, right? It is not correct to say that this is sort of going to be some sort of mini harmonized election, because we're talking of only 14 seats. Out of more than 200 seats in Parliament, it's only 14 seats that are actually going for by-election. So by percentage-wise, it's a very minute number. It's really nothing to even think home about. And besides as well, you must realize that ZANU-PF already holds the majority in Parliament. But yes, here's the point. But now, you see, unfortunately, me and Tawanda here cannot be in a proper position to probably comment on that because we don't sit in Parliament.
Mr. Chimini, there are some other challenges that your organization and others have pointed out. That is mainly the issue of intimidation, also the issue of the financial standing of ZEC. Looking at 2018, what will happen if things are not changed?
The issue of resources has become so rhetorical, and a responsive government should see the need, one, to invest in the work of the Election Commission. We are not seeing that happening. Two, if the government does not have such resources, we encourage the same government to allow ZEC adequate independence to source for funding elsewhere. We have noted in our observation of the by-elections that certain politicians from ZANU-PF were actually captured and recorded intimidating voters, instructing traditional leaders on how to handle their subjects on polling day, and in fact insisting that the vote would not be secret, and in fact ZANU-PF would know how people would have voted. We remain very concerned by this issue, and I hope this is not part of ZANU-PF's policy.
Mr. Chuma, I'll end here with you. Can these challenges be alleviated at party level if these allegations are true?
Right. Maybe let me first begin by quoting our revered president. When we were actually at our Congress in December, he was on record saying that peace begins with you, peace begins with me, and peace begins with all of us. We have no policy of intimidation. We have no policy of harassing people or beating up people. We have no policy of coercing us. If ever there's any politician out there who does that, they probably do it out of their own desperation. I also ask, desperation for what? Because right now, the opposition is actually in tatters. There's no need to be desperate, actually. You can easily just walk into the victory chambers without even intimidating anybody at all.
That was Joseph Chuma, ZANU-PF member, and Tawanda Chimini, director of Election Resource Center. Chimini says the electoral levels begins with alignment of laws with the constitution. By-elections in Chirumanzi, Zimbabwe, and Mount Darwin constituencies were won by ZANU-PF. Christians around the world, including Zimbabwe, are set to celebrate Easter holidays marking the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Zimbabwe prepares to commemorate the holiday starting tomorrow, the director of the Zimbabwe Peace Project, Justina Mukoko, says people should pray for the safe return of Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted 3 weeks ago. Mukoko was once abducted herself and tortured by suspected state security agents, tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye she will spend Easter visiting her family and attending church services, but will also be praying for Dzamara's safe return.
This Easter, my message is that we take a moment to think about respecting the rights of others, all the others who are around us, so that those other people can also in turn respect our rights. And during this time, a time that we know that Jesus Christ suffered in the cross for our sins, I would also want to appeal to Zimbabweans to give a moment for Itai Dzamara, who was abducted, I think it's more than 3 weeks now. And also just to remember his family, yes, that his wife and his two young children were still yearning for a husband and a father to come back in good health. And when I think about the women's folk, I think it's important that we really respect each other, because I recognize that at times we violate the rights of others because there is a man that is in between us. I think it is important that we recognize that we are full individuals as human beings, and we need to be able to respect one another. So this Easter, let's make a difference as women and also as citizens of Zimbabwe.
What are you going to be doing personally during this Easter holiday?
I'm going to be visiting family because the weekend is long. It gives me an opportunity to also see my family and at the same time rest. It has been a very eventful first quarter of the year.
And that was the director of the Zimbabwe Peace Project, Justina Mukoko, speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Harare.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Zimbabweans have been warned to watch out for suspected minibus criminals who pick travelers from the Beitbridge border post and detain them in Hillbrow, South Africa, until they pay huge sums of money. Several Zimbabweans who have been allegedly kidnapped told VOA Studio 7 the suspected assailants drive the normal combis that pick them up from the usual taxi rank at the Beitbridge border post. One of the victims wanted to be identified only as Justina, alleged that she was abducted by some combi operators from the same place who then drove her and several others to Hillbrow, where they demanded large sums of money in order to be set free. She claimed that they were beaten up by the unidentified assailants who locked them inside a Hillbrow house while demanding money, mobile phones and all durable property. Their bank accounts were emptied after they were forced to disclose their PIN numbers. Several other victims related that same story. Police were not available for comment, though a report was made at station in the Hillbrow high-density suburb. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk Women Roundtable at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about the Easter holidays. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios. Just a few messages from you, the listeners, and the first one says, I like Studio 7, give us true and balanced news forward ever. And this one is from Cheni Dza, who is in Pretoria, who says, please, anyone who unlawfully abducted this innocent young national asset must safely return him alive in the hands of his family. They love him. Please, please, I beg you. That's all we have from our mailbag. Of course, we have lots and lots of other mails, but unfortunately, time is not on our side. So what we're going to do for right now, we're going to recap today's top stories. President Robert Mugabe was today chairing the Politburo organ of his ruling ZANU-PF party, torn again by serious factionalism and concerns about the alleged deteriorating health of the first family. Former ZANU-PF legislator Themba Mliswa says the alleged abduction of Occupy Africa Unity Square activist Itai Dzamara is tarnishing President Robert Mugabe's image as chairman of the African Union and the Southern African Development Community. That's all we had for you tonight. My name is Chris Gandhi. I'm leaving you in the capable hands of Standigile Mhlanga and, of course, Ntungamili Nkomo. Good night, Zimbabwe.